I'm sat in the office on Wednesday morning when a call comes through. Hello, I'd like to get my child baptised. It wasn't possible during lockdown, but I feel it's important and should be done. I spent a few minutes explaining to the lady what we do in this church and why we're a Baptist church. So that was a good rehearsal, wasn't it? In this church, someone is baptized to bear witness to the fact, to make it clear to everyone present, that they are of an age of understanding where they have come to a personal faith in Jesus Christ and that they want to follow Jesus in their lives. Our church does not practice child baptism. It does not practice either adult baptism. Sometimes, you know, we kind of get that label. We practice believers' baptism. The important thing is whether the person is a child or an adult, that they have an understanding of what they are doing, that they have come to that faith in Jesus Christ as their own Saviour. Now, we could ask the question, are we all Christians as we have been brought up in a country that was once, at least, labelled a Christian country? I think we're far removed from that now. But for someone from an Islamic country, they would just kind of assume that they are a Muslim by birth. And so it's easy, isn't it, for some people to think, well, of course I'm a Christian. I was born in a Christian country. But does that make us a Christian? No. Are we Christians just because we had a Christian upbringing? You know, our parents or grandparents went to church and we were dragged along, and we may have even been baptized either as a baby or a little bit older. Does that necessarily make us a Christian? No. There's a paradox here in understanding baptism, and that is, it's possible to have been baptized and not be a Christian, but it's possible to be unbaptized Christians, that you may be a Christian and never have been baptized for a number of reasons. Perhaps you're not very good with water, and you're fearful of going down in a pool like this and being baptized. Well, there are ways to think about that and to overcome that. It may be that somebody's not particularly well and wouldn't be able to cope with being baptized in a pool. But there are other ways to baptize people. I've baptized people by pouring water over their head, or just a little amount of water over their head. The important thing is the witness of what has taken place in the heart when somebody is baptized. It will be obvious that a number of people do have their children baptized as babies in this country. And it's possible that for some of those parents, think having their child baptized, they think that the actual act of baptism and the water on the child makes that child a Christian, that somehow it protects the child for eternity. But you know, I know many Anglicans who do baptize babies, and for them, many of them, that baptism simply means that the child is being brought into a Christian family, that they want that child to be brought up in a family that adheres to the Christian faith. So it's a symbol of incorporating that child into that faith. That's why later on in an Anglican church, at an age of reason and understanding, they have something called confirmation, where that individual then confirms their personal intention to continue in the Christian faith. So in a sense, their confirmation is a bit like our baptism of believers. It's a coming out and saying to everyone, now this faith is real to me and I want to live it. I believe that God does have a concern for our families, for our children. That's why we have a dedication service where we give thanks to God for the child. We pray for the parents bringing up the child. We pray that the child will come to faith. But in general, we do not go in for this. Does anyone know what that road sign means?
Car.
Yeah, it's a car. What is the actual sign telling us? Danger of a cliff, yeah, danger of a cliff. Well, someone said it was a sign for whole families baptised, but it would be a bit of an extreme way of doing that. Now, in this church, we believe it is about individual, personal faith. You may have a parent that has believed and is a Christian. You may have grandparents that are Christians. You may come from a long generation, generations of Christians, or not. What God is interested in is your heart, individually. Being a Christian is about a personal faith in Jesus. Baptism isn't something to be taken lightly. Unfortunately, there are a number of people that I know, and I'm sure many of you know, who have been baptized but have not then gone on to live that Christian life, to follow God in the way that they said that they wanted to. I was baptized at 15. And having gone to the pastor and asked to be baptized, quite a few of my friends also said, oh yes, we want to be baptized, and we were all baptized at the same time. And some of my friends have gone on to follow the Lord closely, but others, I have to be honest, just, you know, you wonder whether it was just the thing to do at the time, because they really haven't gone on to live that life of faith. We mustn't get baptized to have a moment, as it were, in the limelight for show, where everybody kind of looks at us and thinks, oh, what a lovely person, what a lovely event this is. And everyone gets excited, don't they, when someone gets baptized. We mustn't get baptized because we think it's what's expected of us within our family. It must come out of that genuine personal faith in Jesus Christ and the desire to be obedient to him. As a Baptist church, we believe in the overriding practice of the New Testament that saw people come to faith in Jesus and then be baptized in that order, not putting the cart before the horse, as it were, but people came to faith, they trusted and were baptized. Before we go any further, I think it's important to say, what does God say a Christian is? In 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12, we read this. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. So where is eternal life found? It is found in faith in his Son. If we have not come to believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, if we don't see the cross of Jesus as the solution to our lives, if we haven't asked Jesus to personally deal with our sin and be our Saviour, then we might think of all kinds of other things make us a Christian, by coming to church, by trying to live a good life. But that is not a Christian. A Christian is someone who has put their trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. Romans tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can't reach God's standard on our own. We miss the mark when it comes to his perfection. We must trust in Jesus to save us, to do what we can't do for ourselves. That most famous verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life." This is what happened, isn't it? Actually, if we think about that story of the Ethiopian, I did think about spending a long time unpacking this, but we don't really need to. What we see with the Ethiopian was that he was a genuine seeker of God. He went up to Jerusalem and he wanted to discover more about God, so much so that he forked out a lot of money to buy a scroll. It would have been very, very expensive to get a scroll of the scriptures so he could read it for himself. He was genuinely interested and concerned. But he was struggling to make sense of what he was reading. So God sent Philip along to him, who sat with him in the chariot, and explained the things that the Ethiopian was reading. So he was given the help he needed to understand. His eyes were opened to the truth. He believed what the scriptures were saying, what Philip was telling him, that Jesus was the answer, that Jesus was the Messiah. So he came to that personal faith, and then he immediately asked for baptism. He didn't wait, I don't know how many years, but I know lots of people, when they've come to faith, kind of, oh, let's take some time and let's prove this and let's sort this out and sort that out, and then don't get round to being baptized. The Ethiopian believed and was baptized. And I want to encourage you today, if you believe that Jesus is your Savior and Lord, be baptized. Don't put it off any longer. Encourage you to be baptized. What then is baptism? I don't see many people walk around with a badge on going, "Keep calm, I'm a Christian." We don't go around wearing that label, do we? So being baptized is a way that we declare publicly to others that we believe for ourselves. Being baptized is an outward sign of something that has already taken place in the heart. There isn't anything magic in the water, okay, when you get baptized, that you kind of go in there as one person and out as another. I do believe that you can be strengthened incredibly in your faith by being obedient and being baptized, and it may have dramatic changes in your life, but there is nothing magic in the water. You're simply saying to people, this is where I'm at, this is what I believe. It is, in effect, pinning your colours to the mast. You might see people in politics, and when an election comes around, they do wear that big rosette, don't they, on their chest, whether it's red or blue or whatever colour is your particular choice. But they make it known to everyone. And that, in a sense, is what baptism is. It's an outward sign of what has already taken place in the heart. It's showing everyone else who has authority in your life. Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. You see how quickly related they are to each other, how quickly they follow each other, believe and be baptized. So an outward sign of an inward faith. Secondly, it is obedience to Jesus. Traffic lights are there to be obeyed. I don't know about you, but increasingly I see driving around Ipswich, people don't obey traffic lights anymore. Have you noticed that? Almost so often the lights are red and the people still, the cars just keep going. But they're there for a reason, aren't they? They're there as a command to us. Stop or go. And I want to tell you today that baptism isn't an option where you just kind of decide, you know, if you feel like doing it or not. It is a command of God. Believe and be baptized. It says in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So if we're loyal to Jesus, and if he does have rule and authority over our lives, if you're a believer and you know you do believe in him and you haven't been baptized, I really want you to think seriously, because this is his command to you. It's not an option, or it shouldn't be an option in that sense. In the last church I was in, I was very aware that, well, during the time I was there, there were a number of people who clearly were Christians, who'd been in the church for many years, and who had not been baptized. In fact, there were about four or five ladies in their 50s who I knew that this applied to, and, you know, I'd try and chip away at them over time. I rejoiced recently to hear that one of these ladies, who's just turned 60, has finally been baptized. Now, I know at the same time her grandson was baptized at the same time as her, so I don't know whether it was a challenge of seeing her own grandson saying, well, I'm going to be baptized, but I just rejoice that she was obedient. There may be somebody here, and you have honestly, in all honesty, put it off for years, and you are struggling, and the longer you leave it, the harder it seems to get. Just be obedient to God, whatever age you are. Outward sign of an inward faith. It's about obedience to Christ. It is thirdly about declaring our love for Jesus. A young woman proudly shows off her engagement ring, doesn't she? She's got it. Have you seen it? My daughter-in-law, you know, getting married soon. Very excited to get the second ring, I think. And those rings are an outward sign, aren't they, of the love between man and woman, a commitment for life. It tells us what's going on in the heart. And so we should be excited to declare that we love Jesus and to have this outward sign to everyone of that faith and love for him. Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not going to hide it. This is my life. This is my saviour. He says, this is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. You know, don't we hide our faith from people? You know, if you have a baptism, I really want to encourage you to invite your friends along. That's tough to do, but that's what it's about. It's about declaring and saying, I'm not ashamed because Jesus is my saviour. Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before man, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Fourthly, a pledge of allegiance. A pledge of allegiance. Baptism is a pledge of allegiance. If you see these men and you think they're doing Hail Hitler, Hitler stole it from the Romans, okay? So not the other way round. Okay. So the Roman soldier would swear a pledge of allegiance to the emperor. He would take that pledge. He would commit himself to serve the Roman Empire. And that was called the sacramentum, the pledge. And from that word sacramentum, we in the church have two sacraments that we observe. One is baptism, you will not be surprised to hear. What's the other, you know? What's our other sacrament? Communion, that's right. The taking of bread and wine, where we meet together and we eat together in the sight of one another, and we commit ourselves again to Christ, don't we? We remember the price that Christ paid for us. So baptism is the other sacrament. When we get baptized, it is making a pledge to serve God with our lives. It is a commitment to God. It would be a terrible thing for a Roman soldier to go back on his pledge to the emperor. And so, in a sense, for us, we make that commitment to Christ. C.S. Lewis said, if you're thinking of becoming a Christian, I warn you, you're embarking on something which will take the whole of you. It's about a whole life principle. It's about choosing to walk with God's way, to walk in a different way than the majority of people in the world live. When I baptize a person, I generally ask two questions. Number one, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal saviour? Hopefully they're happy to do that. Otherwise, I don't know what we're doing there. But the second question is this. Will you seek to live for Jesus as your Lord? Now, don't get me wrong. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. I'm not saying that we're all perfect in following the Lord. But there needs to be that genuine desire and commitment to live God's way. Paul says, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Because that's what's happened when we become Christians. We've been brought from being dead in our sins to alive in Christ. And that brings me to the fifth thing that baptism is. It's identification with Jesus. As someone is baptized and they go down into the water, it is symbolic of death, isn't it? And as they rise up from the water, it's symbolic of rising to a new life. The water symbolizes the purification of the soul and the heart. Romans 6 verse 3 says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him in death, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. As we sang earlier, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So baptism is symbolic, isn't it? Saying that old life where I lived for myself without any thought of God, where I just followed my own interests and pattern, that is dead. What I want to live now is that new life in Christ, being faithful to him, being fulfilling the role as a good servant of Jesus Christ, seeking to live a life that will honour him. So here's my closing challenge then to you this morning. Gary kind of touched on much of this in his prayer, which I'm grateful for. Some of you here, quite a lot of you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but a lot of us here have been baptized, haven't we? We had that day. We said that we were grateful that Jesus had died for us. We promised to seek to live for him. So the challenge for us is, how is that going? And every time we see someone baptized, that's always the challenge for us, isn't it? How is it going for me? And there will be some of us, some will be going, oh, you know, I've really got it wrong in so many areas. I've messed up. I've not followed as I should. Thankfully, the cross of Jesus is sufficient for our sins, past, present, future. Nothing can rob us of our salvation. And Jesus, by his Spirit, keeps his hand on us, and he says, you're still mine. I know you've made some mistakes along the way, but I want you to just carry on from where you are with me now. I forgive you where things are not right. I mean, you perhaps need to be honest with God and say where things are not right and just seek to live his way, because it is the way to joy. It is the way to the most fulfilled life. And many of us, we prove that, haven't we, over the years, that it's the best way to live. So let's get back, let's get real with him. Let's remind ourselves of that commitment that we made. Then there are those that have not yet been baptized, but you know in your heart that you do believe that Jesus is the Saviour, that he's your Lord and Saviour, that he died for you. You're quite clear on that. But as yet, you haven't been baptized. Can I please encourage you? Are you willing to obey his command? Perhaps you put it off for many years. Perhaps, as I say, you're worried about the practicalities. Do come and have a talk with me. I'd just love to encourage you. And I'm sure it'll be a huge encouragement to the church if people who've been putting it off just came and were baptized. But there may be people here this morning and you've heard lots about Jesus, but you've never come to that personal point of saying, Lord Jesus, I realize now it's personal, it's about me. I want you, Jesus, to be my Savior, my Lord. I want you to be the king of my heart. I want to live your way. And if you can do that today, then please do that. Come and speak to me. Come and speak to one of the other leaders. If you need some help in that, if you want prayer about that. But when you do it, then get baptized. don't hang on and wait for it. You've not got to have everything sorted in your life in order to witness to the fact that you believe. The Ethiopian didn't wait, and so I encourage you to be baptized if you are now a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave it there. God bless you as you think through these things.